Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, but I'm party.
And Jake Latondras.
And bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur, sitting in the Duck Sauce Studios in rainy Oxford, Mississippi. And alongside me, of course, it being Monday, Rob Kroon. Rob, what's happening?
Oh, everything's good, man. Just getting excited. You know what this week is? It's the most anticipated week of the year. I'm ready to hurt some feelings and get my oozer ass over to Arkansas.
Well, I noticed last night that, I guess it was right before I went to sleep last night, you made a post about oozers.
I need to offer a little apology. I didn't know whose wife that was. I thought it was just a random Facebook picture. One of my buddies made the meme and sent it to me. And I was like, this is beautiful, because I've seen that look from my wife and my kids. So anyway, I apologize for the for using your wife's picture. She's a lovely lady, and I apologize for that.
It got a lot of response, though.
Yeah, it was a good one. Maybe I'll go back and see if I can find another stock picture that's not going to get me in hot water. But yeah, I mean, it's coming. They know it. We know it. I mean, it's been raining every day. I mean, hey. You know, reap what you sow.
I do have to agree with one thing that was posted in there. Woo, buddy, it's going to strike up some controversy. And I'm not trying to. Okay, let's get that out of the way. Freddie King has gone out on this crusade to post safety videos and muffler videos to keep your motor muffled while on the refuge. All right.
Let's break this down
for just a minute. Okay. I like Freddie. Freddie is a great guy, a great human being. But I say all that to say this. But number one, you made a YouTube video just 3 or 4 short years ago of you jumping beaver dams with a helmet on, which I still think is a great video. You made a video jumping through the woods of Arkansas, and now, just a few short years later, we're making videos about safety and making sure that your kill switch is attached to you.
It's like Jeffrey Dahmer teaching people how to be good people.
Here's the other point that I want to make. Number two, for years, you have been the spokesperson for one of the largest motor companies in the world. And now you're making videos to muffle those motors.
Yeah. Yeah. Which you can do, by the way. But nobody wants to. I mean, who wants to take a drag car to the drag track that sounds like a Nissan Altima?
just some Monday morning thoughts of mine that I just do not get.
Let me tell you, Freddie,
if you're listening to this, I love you. You know that. But this is just off the charts, just crazy to me.
One of those videos with the dog in it, the dog was like, please let me out of this boat. I don't want to be in here. But anyway, yeah, the you know,
before we leave it, who would the AGFC chose Freddie to be their spokesperson?
I think Freddie chose Freddie. But they, you know, this isn't the first video. He did one a few months ago about wearing life jackets and kill cords, and in his videos, he has none of that on in any of them.
All right, let's get away from that before we get in trouble, and we'll have 50% of the world hating this podcast and only listening to it because they hate us. I don't want that to happen. Let's talk about the football sheet. The Greasome Golden Circle College Pick'em Duck South blah blah blah. Hold on, Southern Flight Taxidermy. We don't want to leave him out.
Yep.
We'll leave Criswell out of the sponsorship of the College Pick'em. But look, let's just review the record, because I thought you had this thing wrapped up. I seriously thought you had it wrapped up, because your Greasome guarantee outside of the first quarter, first half, which if you idiots that are gambling on college football games have not listened to Rob Kroom yet in betting first quarter, first half, that bet is 19-1 right now, Rob?
Yeah. 19-1 for the year.
Yeah, it's a guarantee. Your other guarantee on Friday was the Auburn-Georgia game by you taking Auburn.
Yeah, and I like Georgia. I know they're a good team, but I really thought Auburn was going to hang in there with them because their defense is, you know, pretty good. And, you know, I know Georgia got up for the Kentucky game because it decided to east. So I just kind of, I don't know, man. A lot of those games are kind of letdown games. And I just figured they'd keep it within the number, and they probably should have. But anyway, that's what happens when you have to pick that many games. You just can't do it from a betting standpoint. It's just the more games you pick, the more you're going to lose, and that's just part of it. But I really did. I liked that game, and sorry if anybody robbed their grandmother's coin collection, but surely they put it on Bama.
I'll tell you the one that surprised me that you picked, Tennessee. I got to give it to you on Tennessee also, man.
I didn't like Kentucky in that spot. There's no way they're ranked that high. They're just not that good of a team. So, I mean, I really didn't like it. Plus, Tennessee at home, man, those fans are getting pumped up. They're starting to, you know, believe in Jeremy. Did you see the pictures of Jeremy buying the beer at the gas station after the game?
Jeremy Pruitt. They should be walking around with T-shirts. Jeremy Pruitt is my coach. That's how prideful that they should be at the University of Tennessee about Jeremy Pruitt right now.
He is their savior. So, yeah, so there was two pictures I saw of him. There was one of him on the Tennessee, you know, they do those shows after the game, and he was giving this look, and somebody in the caption put, "When you really got Miller Lite in your Coke mug," trying to make it through this 30 minutes of television. He looked so miserable.
That picture is hilarious because he looks last night I said that he looks like he just ate a bag full of crystals, and you know that look after you eat about six crystals?
Yeah.
I don't remember it. I remember it from college. But he's got to have Miller Lite in that Coke thermos. And, you know, beat Kentucky. Kentucky was ranked, what, 12 or 17, something like that?
11th or something. Yeah, they were top 15, I believe.
You would think that he would actually put a smile on his face, but he's like Saban. He's so Saban-esque.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. There's no joy there.
No. No, and you know, it's great. Like, I was talking to one of my buddies who's actually, you know, went to Tennessee and is a Tennessee fan. Talking to him about it last night. He's like, man, that's so weird. Like, why is he in there buying a 2x4 of Miller Lite? Because you know he's got beer at home. He's like, oh, wait, he just needed a roadie. I mean, you get pulled over in Knoxville after you beat a top 15 team with a 2x4 Miller Lite in your console, you're not getting a ticket. I don't care. I don't care if Nick Saban's daughter is a policeman in Knoxville and pulls him over with drinking a Miller Lite. He's not going to jail.
Whoever captured that picture of him buying that Miller Lite, two thumbs up to you, buddy. That's awesome.
Thank you so much for cell phone cameras.
Look, let's talk about two real quick. I don't want to go in depth about any of these games, but two things that happened. No, actually, there were three things that happened that were pretty significant when it comes to college betting and then the goofiest play of the day. Let's talk about the two that changed the gambling world. Because you're sitting there, I don't gamble. Y'all know that. But from the perspective of gambling, Mississippi State and Alabama. Let's talk about that one first, because I think that one, not the biggest one out of all of them. But
yeah.
Alabama could have scored easily, either a field goal or they could have scored a touchdown. They really were not firing off the line trying to score right there at the end. All right, the line on that game was 24. At the time, in about 2 minutes, Alabama's driving down the field like crazy, driving it down Mississippi State's throat, and it's, like I said, 24 to nothing. You could score, but they didn't. I don't think Saban is one of those that possibly could throw a game either way.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you got so many chances down there. You know it's late in the game. They're not going to kick a field goal, so they, you know, they got that white quarterback in who, like, he came in the LSU game and I had a heart attack. It took years off my life. But they, you know, they could have run it in if State's defense, for whatever reason, still wasn't playing so hard. Yeah, it landed right on the number, which they're kind of lucky it did because that kicker is so sporadic, you know. But anyway, I was glad it landed on the number. I actually got 23 right before the game kicked off, so I had 23 and 24, so I was happy with that.
I mean, man, it was the biggest one of the weekend was that LSU-Arkansas. I'm to the point that I really and truly believe that Orgeron was paid off.
Hey, look, I'm going to tell you honestly, I'm in a pick league with a bunch of guys. I've been in it for years. There's like, I don't know, 18 or 19 of us. If somebody goes 10-0, they get $100 from every other member on the spot. That was the only game I lost.
Oh, wow.
So I lost out on $1,800 because that guy laid down on the 1 yard line.
He laid. They actually could have scored twice at
yeah.
the end.
Yeah, I mean, I wish the turf monkey would have grabbed him and he just fell in. That hurt. That was 100% fixed.
I'm telling you now, for that question to be asked by reporters so many times, look, just get the crap out of the way and ask the real question. Did you fall down because you're getting paid to fall down?
Yeah,
give
me
a break. You don't run wide open to the end zone and just fall down on the 2 yard line.
No, and he's got the perfect excuse too. Like, A, he's getting paid for it, and then if somebody busts his balls, he can say, you know, well, we were just trying to kill the clock. We didn't want to, you know, kick off and have a chance at a run back. But they would have been up 2 touchdowns, so it wouldn't have mattered.
They would have scored. The line being 13. It would have mattered a lot.
Yeah, it would have.
I said that the wrong way.
And well, the thing is that, you know, like 79% of the bets on the spread were on LSU.
Really?
So that leaves Vegas hanging in a very bad position. So if they've got, you know, $14 million on LSU minus 13, and Orgeron, who, let's be honest, if there's any coach in the nation that would take a payment, it's going to be Orgeron.
I would put him in the sleazy class of taking.
It's like the same buddy I was telling you about that told me about Pruitt picking up a 2x4. He said this one time. He said, "Look, he said if I ever need to hide a body, I'm calling Orgeron because he would enjoy it."
Rah, 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 you go out here. Oh, go out here, just buy you over here. Around, yeah. Yeah, we're going to go over here and get rid of this thing.
you know he would enjoy it. So anyway, yeah, so if anybody's capable of taking a payment from, you know, they could call. I mean, it's so easy. All they would have to do you know, is have communication with one of the assistants or somebody, it doesn't matter who it is, and say, look, it's the time. You get $1 million right here if you don't score. And it was tough for them not to score. You know, they would have had to, they might as well have just need the ball. It would have been just as obvious. But it was hard for them not, literally not to score. And so he told that kid to lay down and let the time run out. So I don't know what the payment would be. I'm sure it's a lot of money because Vegas was hanging by their, I mean, they were in a bad spot on that game.
I'll tell you what, you know, let's do this. But before we talk about the goofiest play of the weekend, if you had to bury a body out of the SEC coaches, who are your top three guys you're calling? And that's the
Ed
only
Orgeron,
people you can call. Oh, yeah.
Ed Orgeron. Now, you know, I might call Uncle Nick, you know, as like a last resort because I'm sure he's had a few buried. But he wouldn't be accomplice. He would have to tell me who to contact. But Orgeron is a no brainer.
Let me say this. All right. On the flip side, who's the last person if the SEC coaches were the only call you could make? Who's the last coach you would call?
I would say Matt Luke, but his assistant coaches are already dead.
The last person I would call is Dan Mullen. He is such a snitch. He would be the first one to rat you out.
He would have the police on the phone on the way to do it. speaking of snitches, have you been following this Zach Smith Tom Herman deal?
No, I have not. I've read a little bit about it on Twitter. I haven't read enough to even know what's going on.
Okay, well, Zach Smith, you know, is the one that got Urban Meyer in trouble for domestic battery or whatever. He's beating his wife. And so Urban got suspended 3 games, blah, blah, blah. Well, on that Ohio State team, Tom Herman and Zach Smith did a lot of recruiting together and ran around and took coaches to clubs, you know, what kind of clubs I'm talking about, the dollar store. Anyway, they did a lot of running around. Well, Zach Smith apparently last night gets on whatever he was on, whatever. I don't know what substance he was using. But he goes on like a 15-tweet tirade tagging Tom Herman's wife saying that he cheated on her and how that, you know, the truth's going to come out and all this stuff. He went completely – he lost his mind last night. And so it's all over Twitter. And he posted a screenshot of a text from Tom Herman where he told him he was going to do all this stuff. And all Tom Herman said was, okay, cool, comma, hook 'em, and in the hook 'em emoji. So I can't wait for this all to go down. They're going to ask Herman about it today in the press conference, and I cannot wait.
Oh, Zach Smith accuses Tom Herman of infidelity and scathing rant.
Yeah, and Herman, he's a firecracker, dude. I wouldn't want to fight that dude with a bat. He's going to kill that guy. People like other coaches and people are getting on there being like, Zach, please don't air this out here. You know, take this somewhere else, blah, blah, blah. You know,
the thing about it is Zach Smith may look a little crazy in how he's saying it, but underneath all of that, there's probably a lot of truth in what he's saying.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But the way he's going about it, he's going to get clobbered. He's actually liked a few tweets that we've been kind of talking about it on Twitter, and he's actually liked a couple of the tweets. So he's definitely 100% gone from this earth. He needs medication and some sort of hospital somewhere where nobody knows where he is. Especially Tom Herman, because Tom Herman would kill that guy.
So even after, all right, so to replay this out to me. So Zach Smith sent Tom Herman a text saying, hey, I'm fixing to put all this dirty laundry out. And Tom Herman says, hook 'em horns.
He said, okay, cool, hook 'em, and did the hook 'em emoji. It's all, and he posted the screenshot on Twitter. The whole conversation's on Twitter of what he sent him. And Tom Herman was like, okay, what? Go ahead, big boy. It's hilarious, dude. And there is, I'm sure there's some truth to all that. But, I mean, dude, it looks so bad. All these guys are like, his coaching career is over. I'm like, dude, his life is over. I'm not kidding. Wow. Yeah.
All right, so let's spend just a minute on this. But the goofiest play of the weekend belongs to the Arkansas Razorbacks. Just when you think it couldn't get any worse at Arkansas, they go and run the wide receiver option play, the running back, the wide receiver handoff. The running back is standing by the quarterback, steps in the way, and tackles his old man. If you have not seen this play, you need to go find it online.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I think it absolutely puts the exclamation point on the Arkansas season.
Yeah, it was a beautiful play. Perfect execution, really.
I'm sorry, all this stuff just pulled up of Zach Smith and Tom Herman. Jeez. Wow. Unreal.
Told you. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, yeah, so this is the week. I'm excited. I'm getting all my stuff ready. I'm packed. I'm ready to go. I got about 16 Rolling Thunder cutdowns I'm taking. I'm on Spencer's pro staff, and I'm ready. You know,
what exactly qualifies you to be on Spencer's pro staff?
You know, I'm not sure. I think Spencer just kind of liked me for a little bit. You know, he just, you know, decided to let me join on there with those guys. And, you know, we went to Canada together. I mean, he can't shun me from that. So, anyway, I'm ready.
Well,
to
I heard. Listen, and am I right or wrong in saying this? But Spencer is looking for pro staff right now. And if you would like to join that pro staff, send him a message on Instagram or Facebook. Is that right?
Absolutely. He's actually looking, I think, for 6 guide services or 6 individuals to help him get the calls out. Preferably people, younger guys. You know, preferably people that are going to be hunting with a bunch of different people. So that they can get it out, get the word out, and sell some calls. I mean, that's what it's all about. So, yeah, if you know anybody that's interested in getting on the Rolling Thunder Pro Staff, they need to send Spencer a message. Probably this week, because starting Saturday, he'll hunt every day when he's not in Missouri. So,
well,
yeah,
in our group message, when I saw him talking about he was looking for Pro Staff, one, you know, a couple of the qualifications he said he was looking for was, you know, he wanted to get to know the person, you know, to give them a short biography of who you are and why you think you deserve to be on the Rolling Thunder.
Right, and the main thing is, you know, the main thing is kind of to do it as a resume, but be more, you know, thorough about how you hunt, you know,
right,
what kind of conditions, what you hunt over, what kind of blocks you use, stuff like that, because, you know, Spencer's got a lot of sponsors. He's got to keep happy too. I mean, we can't have somebody wearing, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s new camo pattern out there with Rolling Thunder, because it's going to be a conflict with Mossy Oak and Drake. So you got to keep that in mind. You know, if you got some pictures of you in the new Dale Jr. camo, take them off. Send him some old pictures and some old Mossy Oak. But really keep it, you know, keep it thorough. You want to keep it, you know, where, you know, he understands what you're doing, and he needs to have a good, clear idea of who you are and what you're going to do.
What did he say about the video? What was the big deal about the video he was talking about?
Well, it's always best when you're trying to get a call sponsor. You need to be able to blow a call. So about a 60 to 75 second video of you barking them ducks down is going to really help his decision. So, we got some exciting news coming in the migration report this week as well. I just think that things are getting better and better. I went down last night to do a little work on the levee. There's ducks everywhere. There's billions of them. I mean, if you can't kill them this weekend, you need to get you a new cornhole table or cornhole bags and boards, and, you know, maybe take up some bar games. So, Oozers are back. Nothing you can do about it. To all you Arkansas booger eaters that get on there and say ignorant stuff about Oozers, then, well, your time's coming. It's going to be here Saturday. Actually, before that, I may spec hunt. It's Friday.
Whoa!
The Oozer community is banded together so strong that I'm not sure we could be overtaken. I mean, before really nobody talked about it. They were just like, yeah, I hunt in Arkansas. You know, I hunt with a bunch of buddies from Arkansas. And we were kind of split up that way because everybody had their crew, kind of, you know, like you always had your main friends you hunted with. But now the Oozer group, if you will, has got kind of bonded together over this thing. And I'm not sure that it's not going to make it worse for these local yahoos that don't know how to hunt and get to hear us killing them all day long.
I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to make a bold prediction about the Arkansas public grounds this year. You know, remember when you were a senior? You got to be a senior in high school, and you got the disease that was called senioritis. You were very bold. You were very prideful. You just didn't give a dang in the way that you did things. You knew this was it. This is the last hoorah. I'm going to make a bold prediction and say that the out-of-staters get Oozeritis this year.
I mean, I'm excited about it. I can't wait to see everybody. I think it's going to be hilarious. The people that are crying are still going to be people that are crying. The people I've been hunting with over there for 25 years don't care. They're not worried about it. That we don't get bothered by it. It's a complete joke. And all these guys that are butt hurt and need to go call their shrink or their mommy and cry on the shoulder, then they need to do that now, because after Sunday, it's just going to be a bad deal.
I'm telling you, man, it's going to be some stuff happening in Arkansas, though, this year.
Hey, I got one more funny story.
Emotional times.
I got one more funny story about Freddie. A couple of years ago when they were trying to do, like, they were complaining about too many out-of-staters being at the ramps and hunting and all that. Freddie went around one of the refuges, and if you know anything about that WMA, you know exactly which one he's at. And he went around and videoed everybody's license plate, and it got my buddy's license plate in the picture. He was so mad! But that was before he went all Captain Safety on us, so... Anyway, I'm glad to know that we're going to be wearing our kill switches, our lanyards, and going slow through the woods, not disturbing people after you get a limit and stuff like that. I'm glad Freddie turned the corner. I really am. I'm proud of him.
That's a legal issue, taking pictures of somebody's license plates in a certain location.
Yeah, it was a video, and he got everybody's.
Wow.
So... Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is back 2 years ago, I guess, when everybody, 2 summers ago, I think, when everybody's freaking out about it, saying that we're ruining Arkansas and all this.
Hey, before I go, I've got a question for you. What's your opinion on something? I was in a doctor's office on Wednesday or Thursday of last week. And anyway, the doctor, of course, asked me, hey, what should I call you? I see Bradley's on the legal form, but, you know, should I call you Brad? Bradley, I said, no, my name's Rocky. And he looked at me funny. I said, yeah, I was born the year that Rocky came out, and my brother gave me that name. He said, crazy coincidence. I named my brother Rocky, and he was born in January of 77. Okay? All of that out of the way. All right, so I was named after the Rocky movie. All right, before you go, because this is the discussion that came after all this, we ranked our favorite Rocky movies. So give me your top three, three being the worst, one being the best, 3-1, the best Rocky movies. And just give a little explanation of why.
Wow. Well, obviously, you know, man, this is hard. you've had time to think about this. I'm not sure. I don't know. Obviously, two is number one. He comes back. One's all right, but we're talking Karate Kid. You know, they just copied Karate Kid for a boxer. Three, you know, just throw in the towel. Throw it in. Just throw in the damn towel. As long as we're fighting the Russians in some way or another, it's going to get views.
Oh, that was four. That was four.
Oh. I get confused.
I agree with you. See, that's exactly, I was going to rank, a lot of people don't like four, but four is either number one or number two for me. I actually think, and I'm just like you, I think that two is 1A and Rocky IV is 1B. Now, to say all that, to say this, I didn't find Rocky I to be all that great. There's going to be a lot of people to argue with me on that. It was not. It was a great opener for a lot of great movies after it, but Rocky I was not that great. It was too much love story, blah, blah, blah. The greatest thing that came out of Rocky I is when he punched the cows. Wasn't that right? Or was that...
Yeah.
Rocky II was, I will say this, Rocky II is the best sequel, second part of any, you know, movies that have parts like that. That's the best one ever.
Wow.
Tell me another one that is better than the first one.
Back to Future 2?
Oh, that was a joke.
Lethal Weapon 2 is pretty dang good. What about Fast and the Furious 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7?
I don't remember, in Rob Green fashion, I don't remember a bad Lethal Weapon, though.
No, there's not one.
I mean, every one of the Lethal Weapons were really good.
Yeah.
But anyway... Rocky IV, when he fights the Russian, growing up in the 80s, you know, Russia being such a huge part of everybody's life. For you guys that listen to this podcast that didn't grow up in the 80s, man, the Cold War was a time of, gosh, I don't even know how to explain it, man. You knew that nuclear war was a punch of a button away at all times.
Yeah.
And Rocky went and whipped a Russian and solved all of the Cold War problems. I mean, the greatest speech ever given in a movie at the end of that movie in Rocky IV.
I agree.
But anyway, I wanted to see, I just wanted to ask you that. Great episode today. I guess we will talk again on Friday when we do another threesome Holden Circle, Duck South, Southern Flight Taxidermy, guaranteed college pick 'em on Friday. Rob, I guess we'll have to do it maybe before you leave on Friday.
We could probably do it on the road. It might be better to do it on the road. I'll be oozing pretty early, but it'll be awesome. I cannot wait.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you for being here again. I want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen.